The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. You're listening to the Gunslinger Hour, brought to you from behind the Iron Curtain in Radio Free California. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
That's us.
Every Sunday evening.
At 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
2 hours of fun with guns.
We used to be the Gunslinger Hour.
We used to be, but now we're Gunslingers because we're 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a few announcements I'll make in a minute or two that we're...
I was kind of setting you up there.
Well, yeah, but not quite yet.
Okay, wait for it.
Set the ground rules for crying out loud.
It may be even changing your name even more so, just in case.
Well, there's always that. Anyway, I am Jeff, owner of Gunslinger's Gun Shop, Gunslinger's Gun Auction, Gunslinger
Ranch,
Bakery.
You know, I wash the windows, I do the dishes, I sweep the floor, I fix the roof. You name it, that's me.
We got it covered.
Pretty much.
Yep.
And this is a live show. This is.
Oh, sure is.
Should I say it? This is a CS show, not a BS show.
No, sir.
We are not, in case Leon's listening, we are not a infomercial. This is a live show, and that means you can call in with your firearm questions at
866-870-5752. One more time. That's 866-870-KRLA 5752.
That's this.
Oh, yeah.
And if you, like I said, you want to call, you got questions about firearms, you have a collection you want to talk about, you got a single gun you want to talk about, you got paperwork problems you want to talk about, it
auction questions, anything,
you got it, we'll take care of it. Speaking of auction, February 17th, it's just over a month away. Here's some big news. The catalog is up.
Check it out.
Yep. Go to gunslingerauctions.com, and where it says bid now, click on that button, and that'll take you right to the catalog with the, it's I think it's about 750 lots all told. Most of them are firearms this time. We do have a little bit of jewelry, and we've got a couple of leftover painting stuff from the last one. But
it's packed.
Man, do we have stuff. You want a double rifle? We've got like 10.
And people have been asking. You know that.
Yeah, they have. We've got two Holland & Holland 8-bores. These are Paradoxes. Okay, a Paradox, what that is it's a smooth bore for 95% of the gun. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if you want to shoot an 8-gauge, because that's what everybody wants to do.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, everybody that's seen...
11 pounds of lead.
Yeah, what was that movie, Appaloosa?
Oh, man, yeah.
Viggo Mortensen walks around with that 8-gauge. His barrels are a mite longer than the ones that... So
just a little bit.
Yeah, maybe there's an issue there. But anyway...
Make you crapalusa.
Yeah. We have one of the... Well, actually, we have two of those. They're both made in 1880s. They're both in the original shipping container box.
From the 1880s.
From the 1880s with the accoutrements. All the... to reload it, all the stuff.
You build a man's room around that.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, that's your centerpiece.
Because, this gun is going to cost... the down payment on a house. So.
Hey, I hope you had that add-on already.
Did I mention we have two of those? Maybe Mark has. I don't think you have, but the Boss Company. This is going back to the 1800s. Boss made beautiful firearms. Most of them were shotguns. We had a Boss in our last auction, Boss side-by-side shotgun. We've got a Boss double rifle.
A double rifle.
Yeah.
I have never seen one of those in the flesh.
They didn't make very many, which could make this one quite valuable.
Been making guns and rifles since 1812.
There you go. Wow.
I would put that in my man cave right next to my 8-bore.
pointing at each other.
Hey, battle to the
yeah,
death.
Dueling. We've got a beautiful custom-built Grand Royale Holland & Holland new.
Do you want to Paradox. Set up what a Holland & Holland is?
Well, they were a company. They started out in England. They're still going. These guys have been around since the 1800s. And you want Africa guns, they're the place to go. They've been building high-end, high-caliber firearms since the 1800s.
This is the kind of place where you get measured, you get fitted, right? They let you choose the wood, the depth of the bluing, that kind of stuff. This is as nice
as they
gets.
Come, yeah. Ooh, and I mentioned before, we've got a Purdy. That's P-U-R-D-Y.
But it's Purdy.
Yeah, it is Purdy. Purdy double rifle. It's a smaller caliber. We've got a Krieghoff Drelling that's new. We've got a Merkel single shot.
This catalog is stacked.
I'm telling you, there is just so much stuff. You Lugers, you guys want Lugers? We've got three, count them, three. One, two, three.
Gotcha.
Krieghoff made Lugers. And speaking of Krieghoff, we have some Krieghoff shotguns and Krieghoff, I mentioned the Drelling. I believe we have a double rifle.
Want to set up what a Drelling is for the people who are not familiar with that? Very European.
Yeah, a Drelling is it's a side-by-side shotgun, but just in case, there's a rifle barrel underneath.
In case.
Yeah. And this gun, it's
cool in, off the charts.
It's in 9.72 by 50.
It's always going to be some obscure European caliber, right?
Yeah, but that 9.72 is just a beautiful, it's a great round. And the top is 12 gauge. Now, it's got sleeves in the uppers, so you still got the 9.72 on the bottom, but you also have a 2.22 and a 22. On the top. So you run the gamut.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, and they pop right out. So if you decide, I think we'll go with a 12-gauge here.
We're going to change it out.
Depending on what you're going after. If you're going for upland grouse, say in Scotland, you want the 12-gauge.
Yeah.
But if you find yourself somewhere on the dark continent.
This thing covers the gamut. But anyway, go to Gunslinger Auctions. That's GunslingerAuctions.com, and everything's there with pictures and descriptions, and there's something for everybody. You don't want to spend high dollar money. We've got Enfields, we've got Mosin Nagants, we've got tons of Colt single action
just
armies.
Need to fill out those holes in your collection.
Yeah,
you
we've
got
some
there.
Beautifully engraved Colt single action armies.
You need a Colt single action army in your collection. You do.
First, second, and third gens. We've got all of them.
Take your pick.
I mean, there's just so much stuff in this. Cannot wait. This is going to be a fun auction.
We've been working night and day on that catalog for the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
And finally that it's out, people, I hope your chops are wet because you've got a lot to look at.
There's a ton of stuff in there, and it's all just killer diller. Speaking of killer diller, let's get to Richard at the airport. Richard, how are you?
Good evening, you multitasking gunslinger.
Yeah, that's me.
The juggler.
What can we do for you tonight?
I want to know about air rifles. Do they all work the same way? Does it matter how many times you pump them? Or do they have the same power?
I think that's no to every one of your questions.
Yeah,
They do not work the same. A pump will be different than a CO2 and
cartridge one. Yes.
Yeah, and then you get your old Daisy Red Ryder style or
spring loaded.
My absolute favorite gun as a kid. I had a Daisy Winchester 94, which looks it looked like a Winchester 94, and that gun probably cost me at least $50,000, because what I did with that gun was I took.
Oh, ow!
Yeah, I was the youngest kid on my block.
That's
okay?
tough for a $6 gun.
I was the youngest kid on my block, so when all the other kids on my street stopped collecting baseball, football, and basketball cards, guess who got them all?
Boom, ba-da-da.
I had a chest. I'm talking 6-drawer chest full.
To the brim, falling out
of these things, and I decided one day, hey, you know what? If I had a magic marker, I could make little stick men and put them on these cards and put them out and shoot them.
No,
and that's where I can't even tell you. I remember specifically going, what is this 1968 half card Nolan? Who?
Mickey Mantle, I hate the Yankees.
Oh, no, I would not touch the Mick. Even an 8-year-old boy knew not to touch the Mick. But Nolan, who the hell is that guy?
He's not going anywhere.
No, he got booted from the Mets. He's a nothing.
Nothing ever.
And so that's what I did with that. But to answer your question, Richard, no, they're very different. And some of your CO2s can be quite powerful. And the more pumps you put into a pump, the stronger it will become.
Some of them will hit you as hard as a 22 and a little bit more.
And some are actually in 22 caliber.
The Lewis and Clark expedition took a couple of air rifles with them that were powerful enough that they would, back in early 1800, would kill a deer.
But as far as the CO2 ones, how long would the CO2 capsule last if you didn't shoot the gun?
If you haven't cracked it, it'll last a long time. Once you crack it, you get about 2 days.
They leak around the seams.
Yeah, but then what you do, if you're an entrepreneur, 15-year-old, you cut off the, after it's dead, you cut off the end, you put it on a Kratex wheel, and you smooth it out, and it makes a great bottleneck slide.
Or if you're a young hooligan, and I heard about this, I've never done it myself, you pry the end cap off, fill that little bottle up with match heads, coat it in Sterno, and shoot it out of a piece of water pot. It sounds to me like that would be a fun thing that somebody might do.
I think either one of them are quite ingenious.
I got a pretty good arm, so I'm
Richard, we're running out of time already. You got a joke for us?
Okay, what is the favorite firearm of a chef?
Favorite firearm of a chef? I'm gonna defer because Jimmy gets these every week.
No. I want him to get it this time.
If you were a fan of the Sharp series, I'd say a Baker rifle, but that's so inside.
What is it, Richard?
Assault rifle.
Assault rifle.
You can pepper someone with that, huh?
Richard, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Richard.
Take care. Okay, we're going to come back from the break with Rick from the CRPA, and then phone calls.
866-870-5752.
We've got a few already calling in.
Yeah.
We'll be back. This is the Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And we'll be right back, just like I said.
Yep.
I love that guitar. You know, that's like a silver tone.
Oh my God.
Some horrid. Anyway.
Dan Electro with the two horns.
Yeah. Listen what it did, though.
Yeah.
Obviously,
with a Vox AC30.
That was the answer.
Yeah, to get that bright of a sound. Anyway, welcome back to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And it's time for our friend Rick from the CRPA.
Yeah.
How are you?
Wonderful. Good to hear you guys.
Good to hear you too.
It's good to hear you be wonderful. That's usually a harbinger of positive events.
No. Oh.
Well, it was a delightful moment.
No.
We tried.
Hard no.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're still winning on Senate Bill 2. I think the governor is pretty toasted right now because we keep pushing back on that in the courtrooms, and that should continue, but we're now kind of in that lull. The state has until in the next week to respond, and that gives us 30 days. And so we'll be back in court on Senate Bill 2 in April. And hopefully we can get that kicked up to the Supreme Court fairly quick after that and get this whole thing resolved once and for all. But meanwhile, we filed more court cases in the past few months than we probably have ever in our 150-year history, and that's just because of all the unconstitutional things the state throws at us. As far as the legislature goes, no real big changes, which is good news, but we're anticipating a lot of things will come down probably the first week of February, just before the elections. At that point, people have already started voting, and they'll start to get feeling like they can get away with more stuff, and so we're looking to see probably a handful more bills coming down towards our way.
Yeah. So wild how California thinks that we're not America, and they can be as unconstitutional as possible. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the way with several states here in the West. Oregon and Washington aren't far behind. Uh-huh. Arizona is changing colors, and that's why I keep telling people running away from California is not going to solve the issue. I get it. But the sad thing is we get people that leave here, and then they start recreating what they left.
Absolutely. What did the governor of Montana say? We want refugees, not missionaries.
Right.
There you go.
Well, people think that it's just the good guys running away, but the bad guys are right behind you, folks.
Like, right, yeah, you're not the cost of living hits us all, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Same and plane. I think a lot of what people don't realize is there's a lot of people that leave California for one of many reasons, mm-hmm. All of them probably good, and when they get somewhere else, they bring some of the bad stuff with them, and so it is what it is, but it's why you have to fight the courts and you have to fight the system here, which... Biggest thing I'm pushing, you know, this week coming up is voting starts February 5th. That's less than a couple of weeks away, guys.
Yeah, mark your calendars, folks.
And there's some pretty hinky things going on. I know I have friends in Nevada, and, you know, they got their ballots, and there's people not on the ballots that you expect to be on the ballots. People like, oh, I don't know, DeSantis or Trump or others who aren't there. Kennedy's not there. I mean, there's a lot of people that aren't showing up on the ballots, and so there's a lot of people going, hey, I thought these people were running. Why aren't they on my ballot? And everybody's got all sorts of interesting answers to that. So
this is going to be
that's not helping.
This is going to be the biggest write-in election ever.
Yeah. Jeez. And that's one of the things that we're trying to encourage people. And there's, in fact, there's some of those messes right now in California. I know that up in Kern County, where we used to have Mr. McCarthy as the Speaker of the House, when he pulled out, we've got Vince Fong running in that area, but Fong was also running in the Assembly seat. That Assembly seat has him running, but he can't win two elections. And it looks like he's favored to win his congressional election. If he does that, that means whoever the write-in candidate is will win that Assembly seat. Hmm. So there's a great example of how you could have a toss-up and then cost a lot of money.
What a predicament. Like, if you even when you win, you could possibly lose still.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, those are the shenanigans and fun, that's sarcasm, with it that we're dealing with right now at CRP. But at the same token, you know, this weekend was amazing. We had our head of training up in San Luis Obispo, and they were helping a couple of different places up there get their train set up and get a bunch of people trained as range safety officers and rifle and pistol instructors. Yesterday, I worked with a great volunteer, Brian, who I'll do a shout-out to, and we trained 30 new hunters of how to hunt, and the youngest one in the class was 7, and the oldest one was 72. So, and males, females, people from pretty much every background you could imagine that had driven several, you know, one guy drove 150 miles for the class, and so that was really impressive, and that was great, long day, but we're getting people trained. We are having events. We've got the high school shooting sports coming along pretty good, and it looks like we're going to have at least 2, maybe 3 national contender shotgun teams made up of youth. So,
wow.
And especially when you're looking at how hard that is to do here in California to be able to get the ammunition and the firearms to people, with the increased crackdowns and you know, junk that they throw our way, as you and I talked earlier this week. I'm just telling people right now, realize we are fighting back on every level to make sure that the shooting sports stay alive and people exercise their Second Amendment rights. And the work you guys do on this radio station is invaluable to that effort.
Well, thanks. You know, let's shift gears. And I talked to you earlier this week on some of this stuff, but people are still asking what's going on with such stuff like this ridiculous law about having to record.
Yeah, so that law is people. This is where people should get mad. I mean, I get, you know, people like you get upset because you're like, this is just such a waste of money and time because the excuse they used, you know, if we just stop one straw purchase, well, show us where there's been straw purchases. Mm. Well, that's not the point. We're just going to make sure we stop. And it's this myth. But moreover than a myth, you know, the big box stores can absorb that cost. Stores like yourself that I put you kind of in the medium store range may or may not, but shouldn't have to in the first place.
Yep.
And then what people don't realize, this was designed to do two things, and they're being very strategic. One, there are a lot of communities that are out in no man's land, or may appear not to be in no man's land, but, you know, in Truckee, there's two FFLs. You know, Catalina, there's one FFL. Mm-hmm. Well, you take that FFL out in Catalina, and now you just added a $300 surcharge to any firearm purchase. Time to people travel across, go buy it, travel back across to pick up. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yep.
And, you know, like the person, you know, one of the people in one of the smaller communities, his wife's a nurse practitioner. From the same kitchen table, they do both jobs. You know, I know there's another FFL that she sells firearms. She's very involved in women's shooting sports in Central California. Her husband's a pastor, and he conducts religious things. Well, they don't want prayers and stuff being recorded by DOJ.
No.
You know, especially when you look at social credit scores and things like that, people are very leery. And let's be upfront. Part of the fun of going to, you know, talk to you, you know, or anybody like you, Jeff, is it's kind of one of the last places. It's kind of like the modern day Cheers without the alcohol. You get to walk in and see people that know you and say, how's it going? And talk about stuff. Well, you don't want to do that when you're on a camera.
No.
Right?
Because nobody knows how your joke is going to be taken.
Such an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, they passed a law that started January 1st that you have to have recording ability to record all conversation that goes on in a gun shop. And the guise of this was to stop straw purchasing. A straw purchase is when one person goes in and buys a gun for somebody else. How the hell does that work?
Well, I presume that they've now put those cameras and recording equipment under every freeway overpass and in the trunk of every car in crime-filled neighborhoods. Yeah?
Anybody been to MacArthur Park lately?
Yeah, right. Come on.
Not in the dark.
Come on.
I mean, this is just let's face it. What this is harassment and
an attempt. Law-abiding people. People that are in the store following rules.
If you notice, we didn't request the same thing. You know, if it's just to save one life, my question is, then why haven't we put this in doctor's offices that have been known to write too many opioid prescriptions?
Right? We're on the border for fentanyl.
Well, especially in this new cancel culture and how they're pushing this so much, they want to take everything out of context. They'll create a straw purchase out of a legit purchase just because they want to frame it in a position.
Yeah. And correct right. me, Rick, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't a straw purchase already illegal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it has been.
So,
and this is the thing that really gets to me. You know, it's like, no one's holding these politicians in check. I mean, you know, we had people when we won back SB2 and got rid of the sensitive places. So, you know, until we figure out what's going to happen in the courtroom in April. And immediately we had one politician, very prevalent in the state, jump out and say, oh my gosh, now they're going to be carrying AR-15. Okay. No one's ever carried an AR-15 as a concealed carry.
I'm pretty sure you can't.
The governor is saying, well, now that we don't have sensitive places, it's essentially open carry. No, it's not. Never has been.
No.
Stop.
I know.
Just stop with the lies. But
creating a
they keep lying.
Yeah,
well, of course, because unfortunately they have mass media on their side, and most people believe everything they hear on TV or on the internet or on their stupid telephone, and that's it.
Right.
If you don't pull your heads out of your collective rear ends, we're lost. We're so close right now. And if people don't start smartening up, go ahead, Rick.
It's like the fight where I'm working on it to try to save the deer in Catalina. You have a Department of Fish and Wildlife whose task is to protect wildlife, not allow wanton waste, which means animals to be killed and not eaten. Mm. That's their fundamental goal.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we have members of Fish and Wildlife working with the Conservancy to wipe out 1,000-plus deer from helicopters and let all of the meat go to waste.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, how does this happen? Because isn't that against what they're supposed to be upholding? But that's how far out in left field things have got that now, you know, I'm feeling kind of weird because I've got people from the SPCA and the Humane Society and other groups going, oh, we're with you. We agree with you on this, so let's work together. And, you know, a decade ago, had I walked in and said, okay, so you got a guy that represents hunters and 2A people sitting down with somebody from the Humane Society.
Right.
Find an ecological conservation agency. You would have said, what?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Rick, we're coming up on a hard break. Anybody wants to get a hold of you, donate their time, their money, how do they get a hold of you?
CRPA.org. If they have questions, contact at CRPA. Rick, and as always, guys, be safe, shoot straight, and fight back.
All right. Thanks, Rick. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oy. That segment always gets my blood.
It should.
They're not even trying anymore, and that's the thing.
It's not even the inmates running the asylum. It's the stupid running the asylum. We're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And we're going to be right back.
There she was, just walking down the street singing. Snapping her fingers and shuffling her feet, singing. She looked good, She looked fine, She looked good, she looked fine, and I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me, singing. Do what diddy dum diddy do.
Welcome back to Gunslingers,
man. We're right getting our act together.
I tell you what, right here on
KRLA,
that's us. All right, again, this is a live show. Let's give them the phone number nice and slow.
Nice and slow. All right. Here we go, folks. 866-8-
Barry White going over here.
Oh, yeah. 866-870-5752. One more time for you. 866-870-5752.
Give us a call.
Right now.
We've done our part. Now you do your part.
Come on down, folks. And it looks like Facebook's up and our Rumble stream has been going strong. Leave your comments. Leave your questions on there. We'll get to them ASAP.
And let's get to David in Beverly Hills, who's been waiting quite patiently. David, what can we do for you, sir?
Hi. What can you recommend? What kind of firearm for somebody for personal protection at the home, somebody with no experience other than a couple trips to the driving range using a friend's pistol? And, of course, I know training is number one, and you just can't just get a gun. You got to get trained for it. But what do you suggest for that?
First, I would recommend not taking your gun to the driving range, but actually take it to the gun range.
Driving range is a fun place for your clubs.
I mean, I kind of dig the shooting golf balls bit, but... just kidding you. Okay, so what I would recommend, if you're not overly familiar with, and I've said this a million times, but if you're not overly familiar with firearms, in my opinion, the best thing you should have in the house is a 12-gauge pump-action shotgun. Here's why. Most people, especially when you're not familiar with what you're holding in your hand, you're going to fumble, you're going to hesitate. Believe it or not, it's not that easy to pull the trigger on another human being. So making that noise, a chunk, chunk, every crook, every knucklehead, everybody knows that sound. They now know that somebody's in there with a shotgun, and they're going to not be wanting to hang around.
Scarier than a dog and twice the bite.
Oh, yeah. Always best that they just leave. No bloodshed, no nothing. Just get them the hell out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That sounds like great advice. And, of course, you would need practice at the shooting range as well. Can you bring a shotgun to a shooting range and practice there or get trained on it? Just in case, God forbid, one would need to use it.
Sure. Not every indoor range will allow a shotgun, but some do.
Call and ask. Find one that does.
Yeah, or just any outdoor range will allow that. Mm-hmm. So,
I would add another voice to that, and that is I'm also a big fan of a 6 or a 7-shot double-action revolver. Because, again, it's the same interface. It doesn't have that warning sound, but, again, it is point squeeze, and as Jeff pointed out, in a time of panic, you're going to be kind of garbled.
Yeah,
and you want something that is simple and foolproof as possible.
Simplicity, yeah. The first point and click, the real actuator there.
Yeah, a Smith & Wesson Model 686 Plus. You can get that in a 7. I think they even make it in an 8-shot.
Yep.
That is a revolver. They never jam. There's no safeties to deal with, except for the one key one. But if you leave that off, you're fine. That's a second option. But there's a reason that every police department carries a 12-gauge pump in their car. It's because that sound is so scary, it tends to dissuade people from being stupid.
Oh, yes.
Got it.
Dave, okay. If you go down that road, give us another call and we'll talk about what ammunition you should be feeding it.
Mm-hmm. All righty.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for the call.
Good call.
And that opens up lines at
866-870-5752. One more time, 866-870-5752.
All right. So,
you want to take a second and talk about what you might feed a 12-gauge shotgun as long as you got the air?
Well, sure.
A lot of people, they got by the shotgun and they want to get the most lethal thing they can. And so you got some gun store commando loading them up with freaking 1,800 foot per second slugs and
plus play stuff.
Double-aught bucks.
Slugs.
Yep.
It really depends on your housing situation. Mm-hmm. If you've got other people in the rooms, the one thing that irks me the most is these knuckleheads, you know, the, what do they call them? The weekend mercenary guys. They all say, oh, you can't miss with a shotgun.
Wow.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I did it 4 times today. Okay. And I'm talking
at a modest distance.
Yeah. At 15 feet. It's very easy to do, and nobody was shooting back or coming at me in a harmful manner. I was just shooting at targets, trying to go quickly, and I, you know, did not put enough of the meat of the shell onto the target to knock it over. So put that where the sun don't shine. There's no such thing as a gun that you can't miss with.
Yeah, some people think that the spread of a shotgun is as wide as a boat for some reason.
It's going to blow up the whole wall.
No, inside of a house, the spread of a shotgun is going to open up about the size of a standard male's fist. Yep. Maybe
a baseball,
softball. That's about it. And mm-hmm. and that be anything from an 8 shot to a double aught.
Right.
It's not going to open up that much. Now, if you've got kids in the house, I would recommend a higher number, like a 7.5, 8, because
as the numbers get bigger, the size of the pellets actually gets smaller. You have more of them, but because they're small and light, they shed their velocity immediately if they hit something. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about what's the big problem in an urban environment, over-penetration.
Yep. Exactly. We had an incident at the old location when we were on Arrow Highway.
Down on Arrow Highway?
Yeah, down on Arrow Highway. I was working on a 97. That's an Winchester 1897, which will shoot
slam
on
fire.
Yeah, slam fire. When you close it, it will go off if your finger's on the trigger. Now, my finger was not on the trigger, but the firing
the
pin
tripped, or the firing pin.
The firing pin was rusted, pointing outwards.
One on a gun that was made in 1897. How is that even possible?
Go figure. And I thought, well, you know, okay, we'll see. I worked on it, thought I had it, went to put in, and I had a Winchester feather light. These are extra. They're half the recoil, half the noise, yep. And they're very lightweight. When I closed that, just la-di-da, kaboom. Mm-hmm. Now, I missed the shooting box that I was supposed to shoot into.
Oops.
Went into the drywall about the size of
baseball.
A little smaller than a baseball. It went through the drywall into the bathroom, blew out a pretty decent-sized chunk of drywall. Mm-hmm. But maybe now there's 1,000 pellets in this thing.
Several hundred.
Yeah,
sure.
Maybe 20 actually stuck in the paint that you know across the bathroom.
Are you listening, America?
Yeah, there were pellets all over the floor, but most of them hit the paint and fell backwards. Now, had somebody been in there, it would have stung. It would have hurt and
not blown them into little tiny little shards.
Unpleasant indeed.
Now, had I had a double-aught buck in that when I closed that and it went boom.
Different story.
It would have gone straight through. You're basically shooting, I think it's eight pellets.
Typically, it's 9 pellets and they're about .32 caliber. So it's about like getting hit with 9 millimeters simultaneously.
Only going faster.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And again, they maintain their velocity, so they'll punch right on through.
Yeah, that would have gone through the bathroom wall, out the wall, and into the parking lot, into the backyard.
Oh, boy.
So, again, be careful what it is in your house.
Yeah.
If you don't have a bunch of people living with you, that's another story. And if you've got, you know, questionable people around your area, mm-hmm. you know, there might be a reason to put that. But for in the house, I don't recommend
buckshot. What he said earlier, go with the physically smaller pellets, that is the numerically larger mm-hmm. shot.
Yeah. Yeah. And 25 rounds is about 10, 12 bucks. Yep. So it's not expensive.
And people like to think about your caliber and how big it is and all that. Stand in front of tiny little shots coming at you at that velocity, no one wants to do it.
Mm-mm.
It's not the technically how big your shot is. You're going to put slugs in someone, it's going to be big, but you're also going to have that penetration problem where it's going to sail through if you do miss. So let's limit the the excess danger, let's say.
Yeah. And so anyway, that for the gentleman that called. And speaking of calls, where's our callers tonight? What's the number, Jimmy?
866-870-5752. Nice and slow. 866-870-5752. I think some of our calls come from a couple of our feeds, and they're not up as regularly as it is yet. So maybe we'll be catching up right now because it seems like everything's up.
Just got comments started up on Facebook Live.
Okay. Yeah. So, and if you do have comments or questions, place them up there, and we'll get them on the air, and we'll everyone satisfied.
Yeah, there we go. Now the phones are finally starting to light up.
There we go.
Anyway, so back to cataloging and February 17th. That is our next auction. And then, you know, a bazillion years from now, May 28th, that's our auction after that, which, by the way, we're almost full already.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and when I say almost full, we may be. I just haven't gotten a complete count. But
Which is the one you're going to put all those knives in?
That's May.
That's
yeah.
the May?
Yeah, we got a collection of knives from the early 1800s, including a Bowie knife prototype.
Prototype
that's just unbelievable. This is some unbelievable. There's 150 of those.
So much American history is contained in knives. You know, I did a couple of episodes on that stuff for Ultimate Marksman. Mm-hmm. Stuff like the Green River knife. You know, we talk about the gun that won the West. Do you realize how much work was done with blades?
I mean,
everything from building log cabins to skinning out game to defending yourself in close quarters at a time when all you had was a single-shot weapon.
Mm-hmm. It ended
that
up,
was shot number two.
It ended up close quarters whether you liked it or not.
Yeah. Yep. So,
and you got a bunch of that stuff.
We got a bunch of that. That's all going into May. Again, it's May 28th, and the rest of the year we're back at the Elks Lodge in Santa Ana. So, you know, we've got the nice big room, so we're good there.
And tons of screens on there. We at our last one we had the two screens, but this one will be pretty much surrounded.
Sense you round.
I think we have eight different big screen TVs, and we've figured out a way where we're actually not using the WaveBid software, so when we do the picture change,
it's
instantaneous. Yeah, and one person is going to be in charge of just hitting that button.
Just the button.
Because we go so fast. For those of you who have not been to one of my auctions, we do well over 100 lots an hour.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of times we'll open up a gun that's already we put an estimation of say 300 to 500 and it's already at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of the guys that come in live, you know, let's face it, they're all looking for a screaming deal and trying to, you know, brag to their friends how they got great, you know, ripped me off and so on and so forth. And so we'll open it up. All right, well, here we go. We get 900. Got to be half. Anybody half? Yes, no. Got to go. Sold. $900 next lot. And that's how quick it goes. And that was, what, 8 seconds?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
By the way, if you can't tell, Jeff is one of the auctioneers.
Yeah.
In case that slipped past you in that little pass.
I'll usually do the high-end stuff, and then I let Dan do the other.
Love Dan. He's great.
Yeah.
And just in case, if you're jumping away, I see a lot of people already jumping on the catalog right now. If you want to take a closer look at any of those firearms in there, any of it on the catalog, come into the orange store, and check them out firsthand before we have to go ahead and lock them up before auction happens. And you can look at them firsthand. You don't have to just gaze them at the pictures. If you're local, if you're close enough, run in there. Check them out before.
You can come in. Every single gun in that catalog is available to view. You can pick up. You can play with it. Just don't drool on it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try and load it. Other than that, we're all set. We're good to go. And speaking of good to go, we're already on a commercial break.
Real quick, I had a question from Facebook Live. Will the Gunslingers be at the Costa Mesa Gun Show?
Yes, we will get to that in a little bit.
Yeah,
the Gunslingers is going to be at the Costa Mesa Show and the Vegas Show.
We'll be all over, baby.
Yeah, we're looking forward. This is going to be a fun month. All right, you're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
That's us. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Torn in every way.
You, baby, down to the river bend. Got to tell you something, go right to your head. I got a light, got a light on you, baby. I got a light, got a line on you, babe. Welcome back, everybody. A little Randy California and Spirit right there.
Spirit, man.
We did that song. I bet you my band did that song more times than that. Every night for, I don't know, 16,000 years, I think, while I was in that band.
Someone's got to keep the fire lit. That's yeah. What's going yeah. on.
Oh, and I forgot to call you back on that pickup.
I'm dying to hear about that.
We'll get to that. Let's get to a phone call because he's been waiting for a few minutes. We got D in L.A. D, what can we do for you, sir?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks.
I got a question. I don't know if I made this up, and I've done absolutely no research on it. But you know how there's the biathlon where you cross-country ski and then you target shoot? Like
oh, yeah.
The Winter Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything like a bike-athlon where you mountain bike and then target shoot so you could do it not just in the snow but maybe for the Summer Olympics? Have you ever heard of any such a thing?
Somebody fact-check us. I think there is an event in Switzerland that does exactly that, and part of it is training for the biathlon, which in the Nordic countries, this is big bragging rights.
Mm.
Run and bike right. biathlon.
So it's running and... Okay.
What is a duathlon? Distance training and racing duathlon. Wow, it looks like there might be more than one of them out there. So just in case,
that would be kind of cool.
These guys are shooting quarters at like 30 yards.
Yeah,
pumped, completely blasted from oxygen debt. Right?
You guys could probably pull off. I mean, it's amazing what a firearm can do as far as reaching out and touching something
mm-hmm.
With accuracy like that is. Yeah,
but the trick is doing it when you're like heaving your gut, your lungs out.
Yeah, because your hands will be shaking and,
right?
and your eyeballs won't focus correctly. That's why they always told you in baseball, get under the ball and wait for it. Because mm-hmm. when you're running, your eyeballs are bouncing. Mm-hmm. So
joggling.
Yeah, I like that me. Juggling. Yeah.
So apparently there is, and I
so
tell
when's
you what,
the next one?
I would kind of like to do
Run and Gun Summer Biathlon Trail Running Route. It's a 3-mile summer biathlon format. This is from trialforks.com. So if you want to go on there and check it out, let's see what they do. So
we're still going to have fun with this.
Okay, appreciate the call. Take care.
Keep it up. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, is calling us is research, right? Because we're like the Google of firearms.
Oh, I will Google anything you ask me to.
I used to have a Google of firearms, but then there was that horrible boating accident, and they all fell over.
Rest in peace.
And it was just outside that, you know, that 3-mile line. So.
Oh, yeah. Man, I hate that.
Yeah, and that opens up a line at
866-870-5752. One more time, 866-870-KRLA.
Give us a call.
Lines are open.
Okay, so...
So you had a really interesting, or is this time for this yet?
You got
obviously an agenda here.
I got a call from a dear friend of ours, and he sent me to a good friend of him of his that is, I won't mention his name, but is a world-renowned music producer.
For a major record company, among other things.
Who produced some songs that, I'm not going to mention them.
Cause, you know them.
Yeah, you definitely know them. Because from the 60s, a ton of stuff that he produced. And it was just really cool to meet him. He was a great guy. Went out to his house and looked at a whole bunch of flintlock firearms that were hanging up on the wall. He had everything from Tower pistols. For those of you that don't know, Tower was England.
Think Revolutionary War of 1812, that period of time.
Yeah, and he had a blunderbuss. For those of you that don't know, think Elmer Fudd. You ask, we wabbit. Anyway, and there was just a lot of cool stuff, but we got to talking, and I told him, well, you know, I spent many years in a 60s cover band. And he goes, oh, so you made money in music. I thought that was a good one. And we talked we talked for quite a while about it. Told him, well, yeah, I was the Doors guy, the Eric Burdon guy, the John Lennon guy, the this guy, that guy, whatever.
You filled a lot of shoes.
Well, then, you know, Mike, the bass player, was the Paul McCartney guy, the Kinks guy, the this guy, the that guy. You know, we all had our little niches, and our keyboard player, he was tall and skinny, so he was our Mick Jagger guy, sang the bird stuff, you know, stuff where you didn't need to be out front. And that's what we did. And first thing he said, hey, you guys still play? I'd love to book you.
Oh, you missed me by
that. Yeah, and I said, you couldn't pay me enough to
Let me call the guys.
Yeah, well, one of them we can't reach anymore, unfortunately. My good friend Mike passed about a year ago, and the other Mike, the bass player, is now living in Kansas, Bel Air, Kansas, for some odd reason.
I have to think that this is a guy who would say yes if you said I had a gig in California. Especially today.
I think the first thing he'd say was how much. Then he'd say okay. But yeah, my gigging days are done. Somebody called me and asked me to do something for a charity. That'd be one thing, but I could care less about playing for $50
and schlepping equipment up the steps. We did a gig not too long ago, and you still got your mad skills, man.
Well, you know, it comes back. Problem is it just doesn't stay as long as it used to.
or quite as high as it.
Not by a damn sight. Yeah, well, you know, that song Spirit, I actually did the, got to tell you something, go right through your head. It's like, nope, not doing that no more.
We'll just do that. Instead of G, we'll do it in E flat.
Yeah, bring it down about 19 keys and I'm ready to rock.
It's one of the reasons I miss your birthday party so much. Rocking out on all day to that.
When we used to do the big party in the backyard, and I'd bring a band of some kind. Actually, The Trip, that was the name of this band. It was called The Trip, the Ultimate 60s Experience. And we actually played one of my backyard parties, I think the very first one.
That was almost 10 years ago.
Oh, easily. Because, yeah, how do you put this? We don't speak much. I talk to Mike in Kansas all the time, but it's because he's in Kansas. I don't see him.
Long-distance relationships.
Yeah, you know, Jim, the keyboard player, I have no idea where he's at or what he's up to. And Rich lives here in Glendale, and I don't even think he knows I have a radio show. So that's how close we are these days.
I got a little bit of a question from Debbie and Hendo. Any wheel locks for John?
No wheel locks this time, but that collection that we were talking about, there was a matchlock.
Hey.
Matchlock, you know, if you don't have matchlock, is more reliable.
It is.
It is absolutely more reliable.
Yeah, what that is, John? And a lot of them are, including this one, are Japanese. And what this is basically a piece of rope that kind of goes through and gets clamped down, and you light it like a punk. You know, remember punks? From,
yeah, it's like a little real slow burning fuse.
Mm-hmm. And then you load it like a standard, black powder flintlock type
muzzle stuffer.
Yeah, muzzle loader. And then you pull the trigger, and that sends that punk into the pan. That lights the pan. That shoots the fire into the chamber.
That ignites the whole process. Now I got to ask, how does that work in the rain?
Not so good.
In the short answer, it does not.
It doesn't.
Oh. So you can see them looking for answers, man.
And speaking of that collection of knives, I don't know if I brought this up last week or not, but we have a Chinese hand cannon.
An actual hand cannon.
Yeah, it looks like a coffee cup, if you can believe this. It's about the size of a coffee cup. It's got a handle on it, and it's made out of heavy brass, and you muzzle load it. It's only about, chamber's only about
four. Put a bunch of powder in, fill it up with nails and
rocks and whatever, and then you pound that in, and then it's got a hole in the top that you stick something in, and hold on for dear life.
Hold on. Yeah.
And hopefully none of your friends are anywhere near in front of you, because that thing goes in every direction. We've got one of those.
Listen to this, folks. I mean, you think this catalog isn't deep? It's very deep.
You need that.
Deep
and wide. I would put that right next to my Paradox. I really would. Speaking of, in case there was anybody that is interested in this sort of thing, Merkel. You have said you have a Merkel coming.
We do.
You know they made motorcycles too.
Oh,
John's in Yuma. He's not paying any attention at all. You know what, Ryan? How long we got till break? 2 minutes? Okay. We've got Francis on hold. We'll get to you as soon as we get back from the break.
That's a good name.
Yeah, we don't have – yeah, there you go. We don't have enough time to get a
question. Want to give you your due diligence.
But we do have time to give the phone number because you guys are asleep at the wheel out here. What's going on with our phone caller? Go ahead.
866-870-5752. One more time. A little slower for you. 866-870-5752.
Almost put me to sleep.
Yeah, that was really good. Lullaby, Jim.
Anyway, okay. When we get back, we'll take Francis's call. If we get any calls or we get any Facebook, we'll answer those. Mm-hmm. I went to a shooting match today, as did Mark. We'll talk a little bit about that. And
let's break out that big news in the next hour.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, in the next power-packed hour.
Hour.
There you go. I'm stealing everything Leon has.
Hey, we'd steal him if we could.
I would. Anyway, you're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA,
and we'll be back after this.
Yes.
That she had the longest, blackest hair, the prettiest green eyes in it.
Oh, the shark big has such teeth, dear. And it shows them pearly whites. Just a jackknife has old man Heath, big. And it keeps it out of sight.
I can do this all night.
You know, oh, the shark bites with his teeth, big. Scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, oh, where's old Maggie?
All right, that's enough of that. Welcome back,
everybody.
The Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And this is the time. Oh, this is our second power pack hour.
Power.
And let's just get it out. We've been plugging this all week on Facebook and a couple other things. This is what's going on, folks. We've been here at KRLA. Of course, we were at another station for years, and we came over here. We've been here going on. I just signed the contract for our second year.
Okay.
Hey, 2 years now. Baby.
And we're going syndicated. We have just picked up three new stations, one in San Diego, one in San Bernardino, and one in Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona, baby.
So the Gunslinger Hour.
We're starting our inexorable tread, spreading eastward.
Gunslingers is now. Go ahead.
I just heard from the boys in the studio that we are technically a network now. Over three syndications, we are a network. This is the Gunslinger Radio Network.
There
welcome,
you go.
Folks.
We're doing network.
Told you we're changing the name again.
And I swear to God, we put the sin in syndication.
Oh, yeah.
I resemble that remark, you know. Ooh. Okay, let's get to Francis because he's been waiting an awful long time.
That was true then.
Yeah, I know. Francis, what can we do for you, sir?
Well, actually, it's the female, Francis.
I'm sorry. Ma'am, what can we do for you?
Well, you were talking earlier about the noise that a 12-gauge shotgun makes when you use the pump would scare people. Well, does that differ from the sound like a 20-gauge would make?
It does not, no. And actually, for somebody of a smaller structure, I would recommend even going as far as a 410 pump action.
Yep. Hey, great.
Yeah.
Great shot.
But it's the action of the firearm itself being functioned, not the caliber.
Correct. It's the chunk. So anything 410, 20-gauge, 12-gauge, all of them would be just fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one quick question. Mm-hmm. I was watching you on Facebook and it shut down, and then I switched over to YouTube and that shut down.
Yep.
So now it's just the radio.
Thanks for hanging on with us. Thank you, Francis.
We have literally no control over this. It's not us. We are hardwired into all this Facebook and YouTube. We're hardwired into it. They're the ones that are doing this to us. I'm sure you can figure out why.
We have a guy physically doing this on site every minute, and they keep yanking the rug out from under us.
Yeah.
Just in case, our Rumble stream has been going strong all evening. That's something I say on Facebook and to YouTube. Rumble has been strong, and you can put all your comments and your questions up there, and we have not found a drop yet. We had one glitch tonight, but you know what can you say when you're actually on?
Yeah, so I apologize.
Reach your own conclusions.
If you know me at all, you know I'm not a computer guy. My computer blinks 12 in the right-hand corner. So I don't understand why this is happening. I just know it's not us. It is the hosts that are screwing with us. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Francis.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Uh-huh.
Okay, really quick. I you know what? I swore I was going to mention this in every single one of our segments. We're looking for help.
Oh, yeah.
Gunslingers in Orange. Folks, we need help. We're putting on auctions like you wouldn't believe. Tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow is a holiday. I'm off tomorrow. You ready for this? I have to get up. I have to leave the house at 7:30 in the morning. I have to drive down to Orange. I have to pick up my carry-all book that has all the information because I have to go pick up a collection tomorrow in Glendora at 10. Then I have to drop it off. Then I have to go out to Whittier, pick up another collection.
Another collection.
Yeah. This is your day off.
This is my day off, and it's everybody else's day off, too, so I don't want to bother any of my employees on their day off, so I'm doing it all on my own. Mm-hmm. We need help. Come down. It's 1740 West La Vida. Gun shop experience is desired, but we will train.
Willingness to learn.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing holding us back from growing into the monster I want us to be.
And will be.
Yeah, is we don't have enough people. We need good
employees.
People. Yeah,
this is a paid position.
Yeah, we don't do this for nothing, folks.
No.
So come on down at 1740 West La Vida, and I'm going to say this a couple of more times throughout the show. But come on down to 1740 Antoinette, if you're listening, come on down.
We need your help, and you know what? Yeah. We need you on our side. If you listen to the show and you enjoy us still doing this show, you could help out there in the shop because that helps keeps this game rolling and keeps us talking about this, letting everybody know.
Yeah. I mean, we need folks for shipping. We need folks for paperwork. We need folks for just day-to-day duties. We need, what do you call them, a gopher. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that can run to the store. We're out of paper. We're out of ink.
There's a place for you.
Yeah. Come on down. We need – and retirees, part-time work is just fine. We don't have to be there 5 days a week.
Nope.
We'll take a couple of days. I like to have women do paperwork for a couple of reasons, mostly because guys' handwriting sucks.
and detail-oriented, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so always looking for paperwork women. Come on down, 1740 West La Vida. Okay, now. Okay, I got so wrapped up in that, I forgot where we were heading with the other thing. Well, the thing.
The thing.
Turning into Joe Biden.
More big.
Yeah. Holy cow. Well, screw it. Let's go to a phone call. Let's go to Sean and Covina. Sean, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I want to congratulate the Gunslingers Network. Now, since you're part of the network, I'm calling for advice.
Okay.
Helpful advice. Now, I know you've been talking so much about 22s. You gave me 22s. Jones, I need to get a 22 caliber pistol. I've been waiting 6 years for them to get to try and put the Smith & Wesson Victory 22 on the list there, on the roster, but 6 years, I think we're waiting too long. I don't know if or when that's going to happen. I like it. It's a modular pistol. The barrel comes out. You can do things with it.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, perhaps I should get something to quench my thirst. Maybe a Ruger Mark IV that's an easy takedown, or
that's
a Super
good
Wrangler.
Well, I would go with the Mark IV first, but let me tell you something, Sean. Coming up in February in my auction, we have a few Smith & Wesson Model 41s. And if you like Smith & Wesson and you like 22, that is kismet, because that is the best shooting 22, in my opinion, ever made.
That is their target pistol, and it's something special.
Yeah, when I go shooting, I always bring, because I am not making this up, I think I own 12 of them. and I've got multiple barrel lengths and so on, and they make it, I think it's an 8 3/8 with a cage at the end, a little compensator. And when we go out, we throw the berm that we shoot at, it's 50 yards to the back wall, and we put clay birds out there, and most of the guys that go are shooting their rifles at, and I'm hitting them with my pistol. So it is.
Now, some of that's you.
Well,
but you got to have a gun that'll do it.
Yeah, you got to have a gun that'll do it, and the Smith & Wesson Model 41 will, and we've got some in the auction in February.
And the Smith & Wesson Victory is a nice gun, but there's other good guns out there. I mean, 6 years.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, Browning's got a couple of different buck marks out there.
The Browning Buckmark is a nice gun. The Ruger's, the Mark IV's a nice gun. There's a lot of good stuff out there.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right.
That's good advice. I was looking for something easy to take down. The Browning's, that's not too easy to take down.
Understood.
But I think you gave me some good advice.
The Model 41 is pretty easy, though.
Although,
next month,
maybe your advice is I should get all three pistols. That's probably better advice.
Hey, I, you know
no
what?
If
I think we have a Colt match target in there, too. If I'm almost certain we do, and that's another really good shooter. I would put that just a click behind the Model 41. So you got a whole bunch to choose from. All right, Sean.
Thanks for the advice.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Take care now. Okay.
You know what I really like?
What's that?
And I can't believe it took so long to get on the roster. Ruger SR22.
Yeah.
That is a terrific, you know, because as you know, 22, and we've talked about this before, and we'll talk about it again if you want to hear it.
Always.
But 22 caliber ammunition can be a little bit finicky. It's not very high powered, so sometimes when the gun gets dirty, it doesn't reliably function.
Mm-hmm.
But the two guns that have really cracked that code are the Marlin Model 60 and the Ruger 10/22, right?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, they've done the same thing with the SR-22. I have not
anything out of the box.
They just freaking work.
And that is a big thing because there are a lot of different types of 22 ammo out there.
You know, we're going to be you're going to EOT, right?
Yeah.
Okay. EOT is End of Trail. That's the Cowboy Action World Championships, and that is held in Phoenix in February. Yeah. I'll be there. You'll be there. We'll be on air in Phoenix by the time we get there.
Oh.
I think it's time we make a call to Ruger, and maybe we should get them on air.
I think, you know, they're going to have a tent there.
Yep.
That's a great, that's great, gross. Great call.
Yeah. So, some of the folks that we've got coming up, I've told you already, but Chad Bianco, the sheriff of Riverside County, who, if anybody's following the news, dropped a huge bomb the other day on Governor Greasy. As far as
this is a good man.
Yeah,
good fellow.
He just basically called him what he is, and so we're dying to get him on.
Fighting
and
for the right of
California. A whole bunch of others. Okay, we're coming up on a commercial. You're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And we'll be
right back.
Jeff and the Tops.
Nobody replaces Levi. I'm sorry. Welcome back to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
That's us. Okay, you know what? We're finally getting phone calls, so let's get to our friend Brent in L.A.
Yay.
Brent, how are you?
Greetings, you proud, unabashed, manly, gendered gunslingers.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you very much. I just want to say.
Welcome, Brent. Good to hear from you.
What's
you
going
too.
On?
Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
And I wanted to talk about one of the greatest classic American patriotic war movies with guns, since you got persnickety when I suggested Ben-Hur just because it got no guns.
Okay.
For the Francis X. Bushman one or the Charlton Heston one?
No, this is the Howard Hawks 1941 masterpiece about World War I's most decorated hero, Sergeant York.
Oh, yeah.
With Gary Cooper, Joan Leslie, and Walter Brennan, mm-hmm. and it's got Enfields and Lugers. And I was wondering, does anyone ever wet the front sight of their rifles to cut down the glare, and how accurate were the gun scenes and marksmanship of Alvin York?
Well, okay, a lot of that was Hollywood. I mean, right off the bat, I can tell you that Sergeant Alvin York didn't even use a Springfield 03. He used an M17.
Oh.
Yeah, and
his unit was issued those.
Yeah, yeah that's what he used.
But the biggest gaffe is, because there's some wiggling room on that discussion, his son said he used a Springfield.
Mm.
Okay, but the one place there is no wiggling room, tell me about the pistol.
Well, the 1911, and in the movie, I think they show him using a Luger. Yeah.
Swing and a freaking miss, man.
Yeah, and
for
those of you that don't know, World War I, this is a guy who literally captured, it was 114?
Something like 128 soldiers in the middle of a field, surrounded on all sides by machine guns.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy cleaned out all the machine guns, got an entire company of Germans to surrender.
With five of them coming at him, and he has the wherewithal, all he has left is his 1911, he has the wherewithal to shoot back to front.
So he shoots the first guy, and he said, he shoots the first guy. He knew the other guys would go to ground, and he'd be a goner, in his words.
Yeah.
So he calmly and quietly picks off. Now, you got a split second. The guys are running at him with bayonets fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy picks off the last guy.
Turkey hunt.
The next guy. And the next guy, until the first guy's charging all by himself, unaware that the guys behind him are gone.
Yeah, so, I mean, you talk about stones. Holy cow.
Cool, okay. Under fire.
A little bit about that scene. So they were supposed to reshoot that scene with the 1911.
Mm-hmm.
Never happened. It says that Cooper, having met York, initially refused to shoot the scene with the Luger, but was told because of the timing they needed to shoot the scene with the weapon, and was promised they'd reshoot the scene with the 1911, but this never happened. So,
ooh, insider trading from 65 or 75 years ago. Yeah. Cool. Well, you know what? The biggest flaw in that is, has anybody ever actually gotten 7 or 8 shots out of a Luger without jamming?
No, that's an impossibility. So, but it is a great movie. It's one of my favorites. And Joan Leslie, what a doll. Do you know that there was a huge rumor? People thought because she was his wife in Sergeant York, and then she was his wife in Pride of the Yankees when he was Lou Gehrig, that people thought that they were actually really married in real life for a long time.
Oh.
Yeah.
And interesting.
Yeah. What a
He could have done worse.
Yeah, what a doll.
And, well, I was also wondering, maybe I could suggest some new Olympic sports. How about for California, surfing and shooting?
Totally.
Oh, that's in a movie with Val Kilmer. Skeet surfing.
Oh, man,
all right.
That's right.
Go ahead.
We could add ski jumping and shooting, or my dream of stock car racing and shooting.
That's actually called the 405 freeway. I recommend that you get there after the hour of 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I pretty much guarantee you.
Well, and stock car racing and all that, NASCAR is all based out of...
rum running.
Yeah, so...
Right, moonshine.
Yeah, so a gun would be kind of natural.
They actually think they have a place in the glove box for it.
So there you go. Thinking. All right.
And if you have time, I was going to suggest a new blockbuster automobile conversion business for Leon Kaplan.
Okay, what's that?
Since electric Teslas suck, but they have beautiful styled bodies.
Mm-hmm. Not according to Hertz.
What's that?
I said not according to Hertz, they're selling them off.
Okay, but how about when their batteries go dead, he can convert them into beautiful new supercars with beautiful MAGA-charged V8s.
Ooh, LS2 conversion for Tesla. Oh, my
ideas.
God, I would pay money to see that.
I would like it. You never know.
Beautiful?
Well, Leon was listening earlier. Maybe he's still
Leon
on.
Would love to do that.
We'll have to answer
that. He says that there's no more V8s.
Imagine? Stuff in a big old V8 under the hood of a Tesla.
Do you know
an air scoop?
Do you know what
air scoop out of the hood?
Brent, do you know what Project X is?
No, I don't.
Okay, Project X is a 1957 Chevy. It's yellow. It was in that horrible American Graffiti remake thing. Oh God, what was it? Hollywood Nights?
Ooh.
And this was a big block Chevy blown, absolute beautiful car, and they pulled that motor out and they made that electric, and there was so much backlash that they've now taken all the electric stuff out and it's back
Put
to
it
being
back
a big
in?
Block.
Hey,
so yeah,
save history.
Yeah,
push back begins, baby.
So
we have to bring back the internal combustion engine
in droves.
Well,
it's
actually here and it's doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully people wise up to this and realize what this is all about. Anyway, Brent, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Take care.
Good to hear from you. Yeah, that 57 Chevy and Project X, that is pitching color and everything. Yeah, I mean, that is nice.
Tony Danza's car in this horrible attempt. It's kind of like American Graffiti meets Animal House meets really bad writers and actors.
Just, who's the boss?
I absolutely hated that movie. And I was New Bomb Turk, my ass. Really quick, let's get to, because I mentioned her a little bit ago, Antoinette in Sunset Beach. Antoinette, how are you?
Hey, guys. Fantastic show. Do you know, I would be there on Tuesday and report in. My problem is I went ahead and got a part-time job for this January and February in Vegas, and that's why I wanted to go to the SHOT Show.
Oh.
I do a little I do a little decorating. But if the job is still open, I'm back March the 1st, which is a Friday. Mm-hmm. I'll report in on March the 2nd on a Saturday if anything is still available.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I have to take this other job.
Hey, I completely understand. And check in with us when you get back.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I will. Thanks.
And also, yeah? On Saturday, after SHOT, that Saturday, Friday, Saturday, come down to the Westgate. We'll be at the antique gun show. It's a huge deal, and they got all kinds of stuff going on. They got an auction going on for Old West stuff. They got all kinds of great stuff going on at the Westgate this year.
Worth sticking your nose in.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have a little – it's easier to get into than the SHOT show, isn't it?
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, anybody can go. Yeah.
Well, put it this way. So the antique gun show, you guys will be there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll all be there.
And what? I'm sorry?
We'll all be there. Uh-huh.
Okay. Then I'm going to go to that then, guys.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. We'll see you later.
Yeah, that's Friday, January 26th from 9 to 5. And that's Saturday. Friday. That's Friday. Saturday, same time. 9 to 5.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's a great show. We're going to be there. We started talking about... coming into the Costa Mesa. Now, Costa Mesa hasn't had a gun show in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back.
So, yeah, they're coming back, and we're going to be there. I've got a couple of tables. Just look for the big Gunslinger Auctions banner. Mm-hmm. I'll be in and out. Jimmy will be there on Saturday, right?
Yep.
I'm going to be kind of in and out because, again, we're so shorthanded. I can't just drop.
Someone's got to hold the fort.
Yeah. You know, so come on by and see us there. And then at the antique show in Vegas at the end of the month, the weekend of the 26th, we'll be at the Westgate and we'll be in the antique room. We got a lot of stuff, a lot of antiques that we'll be selling. And I don't mean, you know, chest of drawers and such, with a lot of antique firearms. Everything from single action Colts to flintlock rifles. We've got a whole pile of different neat antiques for sale, and we'll have a bunch of stuff out there for display. And what that stuff will be is all the stuff that's going to be in the February 17th auction. Yeah. So the double guns that we've been talking about, we're going to bring all of those. There's just so much stuff that's, you know, I don't think we're going to bring the Lugers because it doesn't really go with the antique stuff. But we've got a lot of, I was talking about those engraved Colt single actions. Mm-hmm. We're going to be bringing those in. We've got all kinds of great stuff we'll be having out there. Me and Jimmy will be there.
Yes, sir.
Mark, you going to stop by?
I will definitely stop by. I'll be at the SHOT Show earlier that week, repping our show.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to get you something so we can start picking up supporters, or what do you call it? Sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something we need to talk to Ruger about.
Like,
yeah. So, yeah, we'll Gunslingers is busy, guys. Again,
and growing.
Yeah, if you want. Yeah, the only thing literally holding us back from becoming a monster is I can't find people that want to work.
We need more hands on deck.
You could bandwagon Gunslingers.
I mean, if you
jump on.
If you could hear what people are asking me for pay. Now, keep in mind, I'm an old guy, okay? My first job, probably similar to yours. My first job was working at a restaurant called the Cooperage, and it was $1.75 an hour, and I couldn't be happier to get it at the time. So when people come in and they want to start at $35 an hour, yeah, I'm just like,
based on their expertise.
Yeah, I'm sorry. How much experience do you have in a gun shop?
So be realistic here. There we go.
Yeah. So, you know, come in. Again, we're looking for part timers, mostly around auction time, but we're going to need to train you because quick example. Okay. We sold a Parker Brothers shotgun, 28 gauge, absolutely gorgeous gun.
Good gun.
A piece of history. Okay. I wrapped this myself. I put it in three different gun socks. Then I wrapped all three gun socks in bubble wrap. Then I put this in a steel box that was foam lined all the way around. We put that box inside of another cardboard box that was foam lined all the way around. We shipped it and they broke it.
Oh, yes,
I won't mention the name of the company, but they broke the wrist of that thing in a steel box, separated from the other two pieces, all wrapped individually to the hilt. They broke it.
And we're shipping 300 plus guns, even like at every within these months, and they're breaking.
It's unbelievable.
You almost have to admire the amount of effort it took to do that.
It's, man.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, they snapped it at the wrist. We'll continue that when we get back. And we got Mike and El Segundo. Mike, we'll get to you as soon as we get back from the break. You're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And we'll be right back. Oh.
shaking my confidence daily. Won't you see it?
Oh, that's a high.
I'm down on my knees. I'm begging you please to come home.
That was a young Paul Simon.
Very young. Welcome back to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
And because he's been waiting a while, let's get to our friend, Mike from El Segundo.
Welcome back.
Mike, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks, Jeff, and other gentlemen, and Mark, and Jimmy. Yeah, I want to talk about two things, if I may. One is about home self-defense, choosing a gun, and the other is about the gun control laws going crazy and rabidly unconstitutional.
Yep.
Without any, what's the word? Without, I mean, they don't even blush at it. I mean, they are just totally out of control.
That's the stunning part. They don't even blush.
Yeah, they're going for broke.
Yeah. We need politician control, not gun control.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, boy, there's a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, regarding home defense, first of all, any gun's obviously better than no gun, and a person needs to understand how to use it. They need to familiarize themselves with it. They can do dry firing at home, don't have any ammo in or near the gun or in the same room even.
Right.
And so there's a lot you can do to make sure, you know, and you can use, of course, as you know, plastic dummy cartridges. Mm-hmm. So people should always be totally familiar with about operating their firearm, how it works without having to even think about it. Just like driving a car.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about, you know, how you steer it, how you use, you know, which pedals the brake.
Because under duress, totally things can go south.
Yeah. Exactly. And sometimes people slam on the gas instead of the brake pedal and they rear end someone really bad because of that under panic. Exactly.
Yep.
I've seen a car, the results of that. It was very, very smashed. It was a big car too. So anyway, I personally prefer a handgun if you're only going to have one. I mean, ideally you should have one good handgun at least, one good shotgun at least, and one good rifle at least, because they each have different purposes. You know, rifle, if you need to, you can reach out and touch someone.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have a rifle, you have a handgun, and they're shooting at you or your home or your RV, whatever, from a distance, you have a handgun, not a shotgun. Actually, not a rifle, you're at a big disadvantage. So, you know, there's a place for each one. It's good to have each of them. For a handgun, I prefer 45. Some people might prefer 9mm instead. When I help people get introduced to firearms, I'll start them on a smaller caliber, like maybe 22 pistol, even 22 rifle. Then I'll work them up on the caliber. Mm-hmm. So that way they have the transition. They get used to the increased recoil.
Good man.
It's just like with skiing. They'll train you first on, I think, longer skis and then shorten them. They'll train you on easier runs and then more difficult runs. So the same rule applies to firearms. You know, get people started, introduced with something easy. It's not as loud, has less recoil, and they work their way up. I've had women, no problem, shooting a 45, 1911 pistol, even the smaller size, the officer model size.
But you got to get them there. You don't start there.
I work them up, starting with the smaller calibers, yeah. Exactly.
Good move.
So anyway, regarding the idea of racking a slide of a shotgun, a 12-gauge pump shotgun, to make a noise to scare people away, I actually disagree with that. There's different schools of thought. My school of thought is that you don't want to give away your position, the fact that you're even in the home or the building. You don't want to give away that you have a firearm until you're ready to do so, because you can give your opponent a strategic advantage over you, and you could end up dead because of that, especially if there's more than one of them. You know, so my view is you don't fire warning shots, you don't waste ammo, you don't have the legal and other risks of firing a warning shot, you don't make extra noises like a slide unless you're absolutely certain you really want to at that point let them know you're there. And sometimes it's better and you're safer if you don't let them know you're there until you're at the exact right position and situation to do so. The thing is, a long arm, a rifle or shotgun in a home where you may have narrow, you know, hallways and doorways, it's less maneuverable. And a bad guy, if he's close to you, he has a lever arm. If he grabs onto that barrel, he might be able to use it, say, as a lever arm, use leverage to take it away from you. So with a handgun, if you need to, you can, you know, hold it closer to your chest if you need to, if you're worried a person might be close enough to grab it from you. You have a lot more flexibility in close quarters with a handgun. So my first choice inside a home is a handgun.
There's an argument to be made for everything that you said, but one of the points Jeff keeps making is we're also in a litigious society, and you have to be concerned not only with the shooting, but with the aftermath.
That is so true. That's absolutely true. Even the ammo. For example, I've heard of cases where mean and nasty left-wing prosecutor, anti-gun prosecutor will say, oh, you know, this person used hollow points. Those are meant to kill this and that. Well, actually, it turns out if you use full metal jacket bullets, you're going to have to fire more bullets to have the same stopping power to stop them. So when they get to the, if they get to the hospital alive, a surgeon now has to find, locate, and remove multiple.
Never more than
bullets.
10.
Yeah, so this, so the thing is that, the point is that there's very good arguments for using hollow point bullets, and that's why police use them. You have more stopping power, you can hopefully stop the person typically with fewer shots, and they may actually be in better condition to be saved in the emergency room. So the other thing is firing a warning shot can get you into legal trouble. You know, then someone will say, well, why do you shoot your gun? You know, you weren't in enough danger to have to shoot the, you know, the bad guy. So, you know, why do you shoot your gun then? You know, so you can, and there are laws against discharging a firearm within city limits, et cetera. You got to be real careful on that.
But so, for anybody listening to this, it is really, really important. What we really want you to do is we want you to walk away unscathed. And that means you got to consider not just the life and death moment, but also what happens after.
Yeah, and
and that's why it's good to take training and to know how and when do you call 911, what you say on 911. You got to be really careful what you say. That's being recorded, and you have to, that's why you really definitely want to take training.
It's
where
paramount.
Hopefully you'll have a good instructor, a good class where they'll teach you all this stuff. You know, how do you handle it? Now, obviously, you want to try to avoid having to ever discharge your firearm. It turns out, I mentioned this before, I'll mention again, the news media will never mention this, that there's an average about 2.5 to 2.6 million defensive gun uses per year, not counting police, just counting ordinary law-abiding Americans protecting themselves. And almost all of those do not require even shooting the firearm. And certainly, almost all of them do not require shooting and killing the attacker. There's a lot of these phony, fraudulent fake science studies where they do comparisons like how many times a year someone shoots and kills an attacker in self-defense versus how often a gun is used to in a crime or to murder someone. Well, obviously, you don't have to shoot and kill someone to adequately defend yourself. That's one of the false assumptions, you know, false premises that they put into these fake science studies that they usually do at taxpayer expense and use it to generate a lot of fake news propaganda, the lobbying campaign for banning guns. So the thing is, you probably having a gun, usually just displaying it at the right time, you know, when you have face-to-face contact or eye-to-eye contact.
Oh, now we're back to the racking the shotgun.
Yeah. And
well, the other thing is, you don't want an empty chamber. There are people who get killed. They die because their chamber is empty, whether it's a handgun or a long gun.
Or a
because
safety
the
on.
Bad guy was able to get the drop on them, shoot them first. So I've seen videos on YouTube where, unfortunately, good people died because they didn't have a round in the chamber, and it took them a little bit too long to put that round in the chamber. They ended up dead.
And Mike, I actually know somebody personally that had a handgun and was attacked, and their handgun got taken away from them and used and killed them. So, you know, there's a...
Yeah, it can go both ways.
It can go several ways.
That's more unusual, much more unusual. If obviously, if you're in a situation where that you think that's going to happen, they're that close to you, then you're probably better off shooting them. You know, there's that 20-foot, 21-foot rule, which isn't something you go by all the time, but it's a good, still a good rule of thumb, which is if someone is 21 feet away from you and they have a contact weapon, so they have a club or a knife, something where they can morally wound you with one strike, it'll take them only 1.5 seconds on average if once they decide to charge at you, to charge at you and hit you or stab you with that contact weapon. So someone 21 feet away is 1.5 seconds away from killing you. And that doesn't mean anytime someone's 21 feet away you have a right to shoot them, but it's still a useful rule of thumb to keep in mind. And police know this. Is I think it's called the Tueller. The Tueller drill, I think T-U-E-L-L-E-R, I think. You can look it up on the internet. But there's actually a drill where they demonstrate that. It's been demonstrated, I believe, in court as well.
Mike, we got other calls. I got to go. Save this for next time around.
I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
And again, everything Mike says, I agree with.
Lots of great points.
The only thing is I will stand by mine because most people, when it comes to push comes to shove, literally, you know, everybody says, oh, cold dead hands. Oh, I'll shoot them. They come after my family. Oh, and then there's real life. And it's a big ass difference.
Yeah.
There, you know, it's really easy to talk tough. You know, telephone tough guys are called that for a reason.
Keyboard warriors, killers.
Yeah. You know, all this crapola. And it's real easy to, you know, oh, cops come after my guns. They'll get them bullets first. These will be the first guys that bend over, grab their ankles, and say, open wide.
Thank you.
So, please don't hurt me.
Yeah. So, for me personally, I keep a handgun and a shotgun by my by my bed, because at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not all that steady. And there's a noise in your house. You've got other people in the house. Is it the dog? Is it your cat? Is it one of your, you know, kids? You don't know what it is. So making that noise.
A conversation.
I
think the 2 points that he really made that kind of stuck with it, that can go kind of all over the place, just a blanket spread. There are different tools for different jobs, and you have to familiarize yourself with those tools.
All of them.
So, yes, training is paramount. And yes, there are different tools for different jobs, and familiarize with all of them you Keep feel like you'll need simple. To have to use.
Really quick, here's this is a true story. One of my boys, when he was a teenager, snuck out of the house. Yeah, you know this story. Snuck out of the house, didn't hear him. When he snuck back into the house, I did hear him. I come down the hallway because somebody's rooting around in my kitchen, and I know all my boys went to bed before I did. I come down that
ready for business.
And chunk chunk, and he started squealing like a, you know, little kid with a skinned knee, and I knew it was him. Had I not known, I would have seen a 6 foot tall silhouette in my kitchen rooting around for stuff. Had I had a handgun, and that could have gone a lot worse. So there, you know, again, what Mike says has a lot of merit to it, but what I says does too.
Not a warning shot, but a warning sound.
I never said anything about
a warning shot. It's not a warning shot, but a warning sound.
Yeah, a warning sound. And like I said, most bad guys know that sound. Very few of them are going to want to face that.
They want something for free.
Yeah, and if they do, then you better start launching rounds immediately, because if they're that crazy that they're going to stare into a 12-gauge pump and say, bring it, you better.
You better be He-Man. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but Mike always brings up good points. Thank you, Mike, again for the call.
Yeah, as always. You know, Mike needs his own damn show.
He's making points left and right.
Yeah.
A question for you. We could address it when we come back. Flashlight, yes or no?
For in the house, I'm either way. I don't personally have one, but I know where all my lights are, and I just as soon flick on a light, and that would blind him as much as me. So they have their purpose. I wouldn't disagree with them. I just don't do it. Same with you know, a red dot in the middle of the night. Not a big fan.
Yeah,
you know, night sights, Trichicon night sights, different story. Yeah, they glow in the dark. You can pick those up in the dark, but a red dot, you're going to be so focused on that red dot, you're not going to know what the guy's doing. Okay, you're listening to Gunslingers right here on
KRLA.
We got a couple more calls we'll get to, and we're almost out of here already.
Segment.
We'll be right back.
We'd hide from the light.
Chuck Berry-isms.
Yeah.
And this is the Wrecking Crew doing it. We all know that.
You know the copying right there.
You ready? One, two, three.
Well, she got her daddy's car and she cruised through the hamburger stand now. Seems she forgot all about the library like she told her old man now. And with the radio blasting, she was cruising just as fast as she can now.
Want to go for the high note?
Not me, Jack. Okay, welcome back to Gunslingers. Okay, we got a couple of calls we got to get caught up. Let's go to Eric in Santa Ana. Eric, what can we do for you, sir?
Yes, I was sick this weekend, and I thought the gun show in Costa Mesa was this weekend, but I'm glad it's next weekend.
Yep. So look what you didn't miss.
Yeah. I'm going to that. Mm-hmm. But to continue on my conversation with you guys from last weekend, I have gone through the training for my CCW here in Orange County, and I've done my live scan. So it's going quicker than I thought it was going to go.
Ooh, excellent.
I signed up on in December, and my appointment is going to be by Zoom.
Okay.
Interesting.
In February.
Okay.
That's so quick. That's how it's supposed to be.
So with that said, I didn't hear the first 45 minutes of the program, and I didn't know if Rick from CRPA got on.
He did.
Federal judge in Florida ruled that the U.S. law prohibiting people from possessing firearms inside the post office is unconstitutional. And she ruled, of course, this is probably going to go to the Supreme Court again, but no law was written, that law was written in 1964, and there's no law going back to the Constitution days was in place prohibiting that. So that goes with the history of that. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and thanks for your syndication. Hopefully you'll get bigger and better each time.
Oh, well, yeah. that's the object.
That's the game plan.
We appreciate it. Okay, Eric, thanks for the call, and we'll keep us posted on your progress.
I'm glad to hear they're moving him through the way they're supposed to. But that's Orange County, right?
Yep.
Not L.A.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Okay, Eric, thanks for the call. Okay, real quick, let's jump over to, let's see, hang on. I don't know why that didn't hang up, but let's go to Carrie in Huntington Beach. Carrie, what can we do for you?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I want to put a shout out for the Browning 1911-22.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Oh, that's a fun one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love mine. It's really dependable, eats anything, and it shoots like a champ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what this is well, real quick. If you took a 1911, put it through the wash,
and then the dryer,
and the dryer, and shrunk it down. That's what this looks like. It's a fun little gun to shoot. It feels great in your hand, and it's a 22, so it's very limited recoil. The slide is very easy to work. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it like I said, it eats anything. Mm-hmm. Mine does anyway.
Yep, mine does too.
Really dependable. Yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. But anyways, the gentleman was talking about shotgun in the house. I use a Kel-Tec, so it's real easy to maneuver.
KS7 or KS12?
Gun too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the KSG or the KS7.
I use the KS7.
Okay. Honest to God, I think that's a groundbreaker.
Yeah, it's a great gun. You know, the standard products DP12.
Yep.
It's a little bit longer, but you know, you're holding
the same. It's the same idea. It's a bullpup shotgun, exactly. So you don't have that long barrel protruding in front of you as you go around corners.
And they're just absolutely fantastic guns.
Smart manufacturing for a home defense gun. It really is.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it makes a nice sound when you rack it.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It sure does.
Beefy.
And like I said, everybody knows that sound, and everybody that knows it doesn't want to be near it.
Right.
So. Okay. Exactly, unless they're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. In which case, then just
in which
be ready.
Case, you have the answer. Yep. Well, you hit two of our favorites right there. Good job.
All right. Carrie, thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. You. Take care. Okay, if you want to call in, we got a couple of minutes. Go.
866-870-5752. One more time, 866-870-5752.
Write it down somewhere for us for next week, because we're going to be here next week, too.
And so highlights for the show. Again, we will be, Gunslinger Auctions will be at the Costa Mesa show this coming weekend. Yep. We'll be at the Vegas Antique show next weekend.
The weekend after, yep.
Gunslinger Auctions is also looking for help. If anybody out there retired wants some part-time work, come on down. We're at 1740 West La Vida. Leon, busy? we'd love
how
to have
fun
you
would
come.
That be?
Oh yeah. Man,
how
I'd never
much
get
work
any work.
Would you not get?
Oh, see, yeah, I'd be bringing in cars every day. Leon, how do I fix this?
There's a position ready for everyone.
I tell you what.
Yep.
Okay, and then again, February 17th. That's next auction. It's right around the corner. One of the stations, and we get heckled about this every week. So I'm just going to bring it up. One of the stations, the San Bernardino station, is the sister station to this one. It's AM 590, and for those of you that don't know, my old buddy Phil had a show called The Firing Line for years and years. Phil Naiman, he had a show there for years and years, and he gifted it to the CRPA, and they are now, Rick has his own show there on Saturdays, I believe. I don't know when, because Rick never talks about the thing, never asked me to plug it or anything, but people on Facebook and stuff are always saying, hey, why don't you plug Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Well, there you go. So AM 590, just look for the CRPA show, I think is what it's called, and he'll be there on Saturdays, and we'll be there very soon on Sundays.
Anybody within the sound of our voice, the CRPA has monthly meetings, and just about everywhere, the San Fernando meeting is going to be at the Angeles Range this Wednesday, starting at 7 o'clock. Hey, man, show up.
And again, if you haven't seen the last Firing Line magazine, pick it up if you haven't been on their website. There's a lot of great education for our next election coming up.
And yeah. We got another call. Lynn in Huntington Beach, what can we do for you?
Oh, hi. Well, today's my birthday, and I thought I'd got to end the day by calling the Gunslinger.
Well, thank
happy
you very much.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lynn. Happy birthday to you.
There you go. How's that?
Oh, that was the best. Oh, my gosh. I love you guys.
Oh, thank you, man.
We're definitely getting struck for copyright now.
Yeah. Yeah, I see a lawsuit in the mail tomorrow.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. I'm so happy.
Okay. Happy birthday. It says asking if you know someone. Who are we supposed to know?
Yeah. Have you heard of Bob Munden?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I was listening to my... Our American Stories by Lee Habib. And they profiled him on there. And he has this, I don't know how far apart or how the distance, but he set up two targets 6 feet apart and shot them. He shoots like a tenth of a second. And you can listen as he shoots both targets. You only hear one shot.
One report, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. He was fast.
And, oh, my gosh, it was so amazing. I heard it like 2 days ago, and I couldn't wait to ask you about it. Mm-hmm. He died in 2012 at the age of 70, actually working on his guns. He had a heart attack.
Yeah. I actually knew Mr. Munden personally, not really well. He actually tried out for he used to come to SAS matches. I don't know if you it didn't go well because
him and Jim Bowman both, man.
It's, unfortunately, because he was Bob Munden, he expected never to have a miss, and when he got one, he would get angry. But his wife Becky was actually quite a shooter also, and she was a very nice lady. I know lots of people that have Bob Munden guns. We've sold them at auction, you know, that have been custom built by Bob.
My buddy Mike has a pair of them. Yeah, real good.
And if you ever want to see something really special, our friend Cisco Gil.
Oh, baby, look him up.
Yeah, I think
five shots under a second.
Yeah, he does five shots. He hits five balloons in under 1 second with a single action. Wow.
That's from a holstered gun.
Yeah, from a holstered gun. And there's guys out there that can do amazing stuff with this. So,
You know, they said that he was the fastest gunslinger to ever live. And I thought that they know of, right?
Yeah, that was kind of a...
marketing.
Thank you. He was very fast.
He was very fast, though, yeah.
Yeah, but I think there's probably faster. But he was a great promoter of himself.
Okay. I think his wife is still alive, though.
It could be. I don't know. I haven't seen them in ages. They used to come out when End of Trail, which is the cowboy shooting world championship, used to be here in Norco, which it still should be, but it's not. When it was still here, he used to come out and do demonstrations.
Well, they used to pack up the family in the station wagon, go out and do shows.
Mm-hmm.
And Becky, because she's quite the shot, too.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Fun call. Happy birthday.
Well, you guys, thank you. Thank you so much. I love you guys. And, you know, what do you need? I've only shot a .22, so I don't know that much about the other guns. But you said you do have work. Or other types of things like the
we do
or paperwork or something.
Believe it or not, to do paperwork in a gun store, you don't know have to know anything about firearms.
You got
to
be a good reader.
Yeah, you got to have good handwriting and detail oriented. Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's just very monotonizing because it's the same thing over and over again. In the beginning, it seems like, oh, I'll never get all of this, and after 15 minutes, like, oh, I got all of this. Uh-huh. But then you got to stay focused on it. Absolutely. And I've had guys do paperwork, and after 10 minutes, man, they are out the door, down the street, you know, rolling a doobie, whatever the hell they do.
Way to sell the job, Jeff.
Well, that's why I don't have guys do the job. Mm-hmm. You know, women just seem to stay more focused on it.
It's a fun environment,
plus
too.
The guys write, like, doctor's prescriptions.
Exactly.
You know, read them.
It looks like I write with my feet.
Yeah, and his writing's better than mine. So. Lynn, thanks for the call and happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And yeah, I might have to come down there. I've got some problem with my car. I just found out the light went on. They said, oh, your transmission's going out.
Uh-oh. This is the job for Leon.
Yeah, or Leon's transmission.
I need to call Leon and say, Leon, what do? I need a temperature sensor, but nobody wants to help me. And I want it dependable so I can actually drive from Huntington Beach to Orange.
Understood. You know? Yeah. Well, we'll have Leon back pretty soon, and I'm sure he'll call in pretty soon, too. So anyway, Lynn, we got to go.
Keep listening. Tell him.
Okay, very good. Thanks again. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. That's a wonderful show.
Okay,
thank you. Real quick shout out, Double R Bar. Were you shot today?
I want to say thanks to Beaumont Benji and everybody for putting on a nice shoot, even though there was only 10 of us that braved the weather.
We only had about 12 up at.
And man, we're Canyon done Oaks. With 2 hours.
Jeez.
Fastest 2 hours on radio, folks.
Okay, you ready? Don't forget to smile. It's just a little curve that sets everything straight.
Oh, yeah.
All right, there you go. We'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Love you guys. Thank you. Goodbye.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.